I just want to kick off with this scripture from Acts 13. It's a beautiful scripture, and I'm just reading from the ESV. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, later Paul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, and I underlined this in my Bible, so I'm going to say it again. While they were worshipping the Lord, some versions say ministering to the Lord. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Such a beautiful picture. It's a picture of the church. It's a picture of the church that we at Josh Gen strive for. It's a real church. And this scripture is so packed with these beautiful thoughts that guide us into what God wants for us. But it's more than what He wants for us. It's what He wants to do in us and what He wants to do through us. And so what I'm hoping for today is that what will come through out of this scripture, this text that I've just read, is that we'll come away with a deep understanding that the Holy Spirit is the director of all work done on earth. That everything that is done on earth was delegated to the Holy Spirit. God gave the Holy Spirit authority and dominion over every works on earth. And if we desire God to bless this work, it's down to us to make sure that we're in right standing with the Holy Spirit. But not only that, to make sure that we're in the right relationship with the Holy Spirit. So important. And with this, we must be sure to give the Holy Spirit His place of honor. And it's a place of honor that belongs to Him every single day. Not just on the day of the Lord. Not just Sundays. Not just Wednesdays at Com. It's every single day. And it's not just when. It's in all our work. It's in our private lives. The Holy Spirit must have first place. And I'm hoping that we come away with a sense that we are to be completely and fully separated for the Holy Spirit and to the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be looking at this from a few different angles. But first, I have to share, you know, Jax and I, we love adventuring. We love exploring. Maybe that's a better word than adventuring. So we love exploring, and we love nothing more than getting off the main road and clopping a sand road somewhere. And so if we go on the motorbike, we've got a GPS. But if we go in the car, then we'll tap into Google Maps or one of those apps. But it's usually Google apps. Now the men can resonate with this. When we leave, the question is asked of me, "Do you know where we're going?" And my answer is usually, "Yeah, I got this." And I disregard the GPS. I don't look at it. And all I need to do is type a few things in there that'll give it the information I'm looking for, and the GPS or Google will tell me exactly where to go. But do we do that, guys? No. Yes. Some of you break the norm. But it's crazy that I would have this at my disposal, but I would completely disregard that. Campbell had his hand up for a long time. Yo, okay. And so, but it's not just that. Sometimes I'll start with the GPS, and then when I think I'm getting close, I'm like, "Turn it off. Let's not waste data. I know where I'm going," and it ends badly. It's like suddenly everything's unfamiliar. And wow, I don't even have to speak about that anymore. But it's crazy how even a small example like that, where we have something at our disposal that would give us such freedom and peace if we just allow that to guide us, but instead it's, nah, I'll do it my own way. I've got this. In fact, I'll even do it with pride, like, Jax, I know. You know, and she's always impressed. That's what's, you know. So, I think. No, she is. But that's the thing. It's about being completely surrendered. And I think often we rely on our own confidence and our own ability instead of surrendering. But really, to understand, I believe, how to be separated unto the Holy Spirit, to be separated for the Holy Spirit and to the Holy Spirit, I think let's just first look at the model that Jesus gave us. What a beautiful picture of Jesus, that he would, it's just such a beautiful demonstration of surrender, of absolute surrender. He surrendered everything sacrificially, especially his will. Father, this is not my will, but I surrender this to you, but your will. And it was that took him to the cross. In a complete act of obedience and sacrifice, where you and I are the beneficiaries of that. Absolute surrender to his Father who sent him so that you and I could be reconciled to him. So that you and I, who were lost in our sinfulness, would enjoy this insane exchange, this beautiful exchange, our sin for his righteousness. And he took our sin on the cross, and we received this free gift of his righteousness so that his Father would look upon us and say, I accept that, because I see this child through the lens of my son's blood, and they are righteous. Come into my home. There are many rooms. Do you deserve it? Do I deserve it? Of course not. But God adopts us into his family. What a beautiful thing for people that were once lost. And we've been set free. And we get to call him our Father. And he declares us to be sons and daughters. What a beautiful model that Jesus laid down for us as an act of surrender, as an act of obedience to the Father. And I think we can never, ever lose sight of that. So over the next few minutes, and I'm going to be very cautious, I want to make sure we're covering things. So I might refer to my notes because I don't want to miss anything or bring anything of myself in. But I want to look at God's plans, or his plans, kingdom plans. Then we're going to move into, that he desires to reveal his plans and will to us. So the plans are his, and then he desires to reveal this to us. And then that we often have to wait for this. It doesn't just come. And it's in a place of waiting that we find this, and then that we are to be set apart. So first, let's go and have a look at God's plans or kingdom plans. God's plans or kingdom plans. This church that the text is referring to is a church that had been established in Antioch. The work of the Lord had started pushing into Europe, and it was growing. The gospel was on the move. It was a beautiful thing. Into Europe, into Asia. These were God's plans. As he in the form of the Holy Spirit came to these men, it was his plans that he was revealing. Not anyone else's plans. It was his plans. And he made them known. He cares for those plans. He came up with them. They were born in his mind and in his heart. That's it, actually. No explanation. They are his plans. And you know, I must, as I was preparing, my mind was cast back to when I was 18. We were shipped off to the military. And when we were preparing to go into battle, when the orders came to tell us where to go and what to do, it was very limited. We were given such a small little margin of information that we simply had to trust what we were given. We didn't get everything because we were not required to see the full picture. We only saw a little bit of what was in front of us, but there were other units, there were other divisions, there was artillery, there was infantry, there were ops people, there were medics, there were all sorts of, there was stuff going on in the battlefield. But each person had to know exactly what they had to do. And that meant trusting. And it meant trusting fully. And I will say this, that often it didn't make sense. It just did not make sense. And we were trained to dismiss any thought that came into our mind that said, this doesn't make sense. We had to dismiss that and move forward. And in obedience, in absolute obedience, we had to surrender. And God is no different to that. God, the great commander, he plans and organizes every single campaign on earth. Every single campaign. He's the great commander. We don't always have the plans, but God does. He does. God has wishes and a will with regard to any work that happens and that must be done and how it must be done. And we just have to be obedient, like I was as a young fellow in the military. We had to be obedient and follow those orders. Unfortunately, when we do get those thoughts and we don't take them captive, we were trained not to in the army to take thoughts. We were trained to take thoughts captive. We dismiss that thought and we move forward. When we're unable to do that, when God gives us his will, his desire, his plans, and they don't make sense, our own will comes into the picture. Our own will. And that's when we start getting into trouble. We start making our own plans. We think we know what should be done. And I'm not even saying we're completely on our own mission, that I will benefit from this. Very often it's noble. I'm doing this for the Lord. We're taking ground, saving our town, all these things. Very noble. But unfortunately, often our own plans. We think we know what should be done. And then, afterwards, we ask God to bless our plans. How does that even work? This is my plan, Lord. I'm not even going to stick around to hear yours. This is my plan. But would you bless it, Lord? I have noble intent. I'm your son. I'm following Jesus. Our efforts are weak. That's the reality. Our efforts are weak. Our efforts are frail, and if we have to take a good look at ourselves, some of our own efforts are pathetic. Are we even allowed to think that what we do is pathetic sometimes in the eyes of the Lord? But bless this for me, Lord. All this instead of waiting. Not moving until he says, go. On the battlefield, you don't put one foot forward until you get the command, go, and then you go fast. But not until you get the horn blowing or the flag dropping or whatever it looks like. Holy Spirit intervening. And it requires trust. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. God placed the work under the control of the Holy Spirit. And I reckon we should be afraid to move without his prompting, without him revealing his will to us. Second thing, God desires to reveal his will to us. And we can see this from the text. He wanted to reveal his will to them. And he did. And you know what? I don't believe God has changed the narrative. I don't believe that just because we're in 2025, that the picture's changed now. God speaks to us in other ways. Maybe through AI. Maybe through billionaires. That's how he speaks. Or very clever people. That's how I don't believe that's the case. I don't think he's changed the narrative at all. He still speaks. And we have this beautiful example in Jesus. But I tell you what, look around the room. In Josh Jen, we have such beautiful examples of people that have heard the Spirit, who have sacrificed their own will, who have surrendered to the Lord and have moved forward. And God has blessed that. And he's blessed it in power and strength. And it's a beautiful thing. And with that, with God's desire to reveal his will to us, our will should simply be nothing more than to receive this. Lord, I desire to hear from you. I desire your will for my life. And I recognize that this scripture is probably aimed at leaders in the church who have got an apostolic call and are sent into the nations. But folks, we are the priesthood of all believers. And Jesus says, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And so we have this delegated authority as people who are sent into the world, sent into the workplace, sent into the gym, sent into the sports club, sent into the co-op. All of these places, that's where we sent. And every single conversation counts. Everything that we're coming into contact with, everyone, everything that we do, we want to know that it's been within God's will. I must say, I feel sometimes that we ask God for his power after the fact. Like I said just now. We work our own will. We work our own will. And then we ask God for grace for this thing. No wonder we run out of steam. We do, hey? I'm not the only one, I don't think. Especially when it's our own will. Benny mentioned that scripture where Paul was speaking to the Galatians. He says, guys, you started this thing in the spirit and it petered out because you started completing in the flesh. I got this, Lord. I started listening to the GPS, but I don't need it anymore. I know where I am. I've got this. And then we ask the Lord for grace, and there's no grace. Or it's in limited edition. We should desire the will of God. The third one, third of four, eh? So I'm doing quite well. The will, God's will, is in the waiting. We want God's will now. Lord, I've got this decision to make. I need to know now. I want to close this thing off. We're in a consumer society where everything has to go according to some kind of plan. But God's will is very, very often, more often than not, just in the waiting. And the surrendering, not in our own plans, not in our own abilities. You know, I was just reminded, actually, on the way here, I grew up in a household where we had no religion, nothing, no Bibles. When I went to the army and I had to fill out a form, I did not know what religion I was. I had to phone my mom. She said to me, "You're a Methodist." So I wrote that down. And I stayed a Methodist for about 25 years. But I grew up seeing my dad refuse to put his foot into a church. He would stand outside a church and smoke. And he was a beautiful man, very charismatic. But the only time I heard him mention anything remotely religious was when he was swearing. And it was very difficult for me. Jax and I would often pray and sometimes feel... I felt like a coward because I didn't have the guts to witness to my dad. and it was a wrestle for me. And they moved from Natal to Gauteng, where Jax and I were living at the time, and they stayed with us for a few months and then moved into their own place. And it was one night during worship that the Lord said, go now. Go now. And my boy, find the strength, because it's in me. When you find it, when you seek it, you will find it if you're seeking it with me. And Jax and I went to their house, and there were lots of seeds planted. I used to think it was cowardice seeds. I didn't have the courage to go the whole way. And so, but those seeds were planted, seeds of intent. And Jax and I were able to pray with my dad and lead him to the Lord at 74. And he died 4 months later, changed man. At his funeral, we were able to celebrate and thank the Lord for what he'd done in my dad's life. That he was actually, he was a new creation. And I tried to lead my dad through the sinner's prayer. He didn't even hear. He just wept. He said, Lord, I'm sorry I took so long. He didn't follow the prescripted way of doing it. But it was in the waiting. It was in the seeking. And we got to a point where we said, we don't know what to do anymore. I felt, I just don't know. Lord, take him if you have to. Or don't. But God is so faithful, but it was in the waiting and in the worship. We were in a place of worship when he spoke to us. And I want to speak to that a little bit. The text speaks about these men who were worshiping and fasting when the Holy Spirit came to them. What a beautiful thing. They could have been scurrying around, getting funds. They could have been doing raffles. They could have been getting clever people, preachers, teachers, fivefold ministry, eldership team, good-looking ones. They could have been not. They could have been doing all these things. But they didn't. They were fasting and praying. They were seeking the Lord. They were seeking the Lord, and it's in that that they heard his will. We can only really hear God's will when he speaks, when we're intimate with him. It was one of the words that was coming through tonight. God desires intimacy with us. He wants us to be intimate with him. He wants hearts to be fully surrendered to him. In the church, we can see that the church in Antioch was growing. God was extending his kingdom. And, you know, if you think about it, part of that story was just a bunch of guys who saw this happening and they knew that they were part of the story. And they wanted more. They wanted to be a part of the finished product, but they didn't know what it looked like. They had no idea that God was going to send them into far places in Europe. They had no idea what God's plans were for Asia, or anywhere else in the, for that matter. They had no clue. But in the fasting and praying and seeking him, God revealed his will to them, and they knew where they had to go. Just a bunch of lads, unqualified, helpless, vulnerable, but humble. And full of the joy of expectation, knowing that the only thing they could do was draw near to him and to seek him and to seek his face and to find intimacy with him. And they knew that as they did that, that he would come to them, that he would speak to them. They may not have known exactly what that would have looked like. For us, we're seeing prophetic words come through. It might look like that. Might look like a word of encouragement, confirmation. Sometimes we're the bearers of that word through the Holy Spirit. Boy, we need to listen. And it might be for the smallest thing. Go to 3rd Street. There's a man there, your dad. Pray for him. That's all. These guys could not move forward without his plan. And the example is in Jesus. He said in John 5:30, I can do nothing of my own authority. And Paul reminds us, you guys can do nothing on your own. Actually, nothing good. It's quite harsh. They were absolutely surrendered to the Holy Spirit, and their hearts were fully postured towards Him. And the fourth one, chapter 4, set apart for the Holy Spirit. Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Paul. The work is mine, says the Lord. I care for it. I came up with it. I designed it. I chose these men. I called them. Set them apart. And if you look at it, he was saying to that group of men, you pray for him. You pray for them. This sending work, this commission from these other men came out of the church. What a beautiful picture of unity, of a tribe, of a people who don't have it all together, but lay things down and surrender in hearing the Lord. And the Holy Spirit saying, set them apart unto me. Set them apart to me. It was the church that was to do the work of separating so that the work could be done. What does that look like in our world? At COM. Guys, I'm hearing this voice. I'm not sure what it is. What do you think? Well, let's wait on the Lord. Let's hear what He's got to say. Come on, let's pray for you. What a beautiful thing when a community group gathers around an individual and says, we're feeling the Holy Spirit say, go, man. This is where you need to press into. Get into kids' church. Get into the gym. You can make a difference there. In your workplace, boldness and courage to get into the workplace and reveal the love that our Father desires for us to see flowing out from us. There are two spirits. Paul speaks about this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. I really want to ask us, me included, because when I was preparing this, I was so challenged. Who are we surrendered to? Are we surrendered to the world, or are we surrendered to the Holy Spirit? Because, boy, do we see a lot of world in us. Boy, do we see reasons not to go as the world pulls us, as the world draws us. Or are we saturated in Him? Are we bearing fruit? Are we abiding in Him? Are we plugged into the vine as branches do so that they can bear fruit? Is love evident in every single action? I think we often cry out to the Lord for power in the work, and we thank God when we do receive it, but I believe He wants more. He wants our hearts. More than giving us power and strength for the work that He desires for us to do, He desires to give us the ability to lean into Him, to press into Him, to give Him our entire hearts. And I believe if there's not a good measure of grace and holiness, the flaw of that thinking will come out in our work. We'll pray for power in the work, and we'll get it. But if we're not fully, if our hearts are not fully surrendered to Him and postured fully to Him, the impact or the effects of that will come out in our work. We start getting tired. We start getting fed up. Things aren't going our way. Paul and Barnabas and the rest of the gang, Silas, all of them, they went into a world that was hostile. They had Jews coming up against them. There were sorcerers coming up against them. And they pressed on because they were given a mandate by the living God. By the living God. Father, let the Spirit have control over me, my home, my work, my nature, my temperament, my tongue. If there's anything of self, may we surrender that to Him. And as I wrap up, I feel that this text is such a beautiful picture of a church of believers who are being equipped, saints who are being equipped for the work of the ministry. We're being equipped. We were called out of darkness into His glorious light. We called out of that, and now He sends us back. Sends us back into a world where people are lost, where people are broken. And we are the vessels. And He wants to send us. He wants to use us. And it's a beautiful picture of the church as one, unified. Unified in the big things and in the small things. And I just want to say this as I do wrap up. Sometimes we even struggle to meet the standards of the world, let alone the standards of the Holy Spirit. Some of us, when we're not fully attentive, are very economical with our friendliness. I kid you not, to the world. Or with our greeting. Or with our love. With our friendliness. With our joy. We can be very economical with those things. And sometimes we think, okay, well, I've got by the standard of the world. It's not God's standard. And I want to confess today, and my prayer is that we will all come along. Because I just felt that I had to confess. I have to confess before everybody here that I have not honored the Holy Spirit as I should have. In my life, I've not honored Him. I've allowed my own self, my will, my flesh to work where I should have allowed the Holy Spirit to. Because I can do it in my own strength. I'm good enough at this. I can do that. And I want to confess that I've dishonored and I've grieved the Holy Spirit in not allowing Him to do that work instead of me. And another thing is that I have allowed myself to take the place that God had ordained for the Holy Spirit to take. I've taken that place. My own strength, my own goodness, my own talents, my own spiritual gifting. And so I want to, if you fall into any of those two categories, if you feel that there's been a time in your life where you haven't fully surrendered, especially self, to the Lord, and He hasn't been able to sow into you and speak His will into your life because there's been too much of self, He hasn't been able to fully fill you because you've been in the way and I've been in the way, He wants us to remove self so that He can fill completely. That streams of living water would flow from us. What a beautiful thing. It's not us. We can't boast in it because it's Him. And so if you feel that's you, and if you don't feel it's you, please feel free without condemnation to stay sitting. But if I was sitting now, I would stand up. In fact, I'm confessing. I would like to pray for us and ask the Lord to forgive us. And I want to ask that He would give us the ability to press into Him and to seek Him, and to surrender everything to Him, as Jesus did, to lay it down, and to seek His desires and not our own. My own will, I want to lay that down. My own self, I want to lay that down. I want to surrender that. I want to die to self. So that I and the Lord can co-labor. So that I can partner with the Holy Spirit, where I won't get pop and much and fatigued and grumpy because the Holy Spirit is working with me, empowering me in my weakness, because in my weakness He is strong. If that's you, stand with me.